This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. You wake up in your hotel room, 6 a.m. You get up, you're groggy, but you're excited. Today is the day that could change your life forever. You go to the hotel window, you open up the drapes, and you look down over beautiful downtown Indianapolis. Because you are here for the combine. You're excited. You're feeling pretty good. You know, you threw 35 touchdowns on the season, only about 7 picks. Your win-loss record wasn't the best, and you didn't show up in some bigger games, but you know your measurables will be on point today. You're feeling confident. The only thing is, you really got to nail your interviews. Because you're known for kind of getting real stiff when the lights come on, and you need to show these men that you are a leader. So you get dressed, you get ready, you have some breakfast, you meet your agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
How you doing? How you feeling, kid? We good?
I'm feeling great.
How you liking Indy? It's a great town. Did you get some ranch dressing?
I got some ranch dressing. I got a huge breaded pork tenderloin sandwich that's a little bit of bun and then gigantic pork tenderloin, like brimming over the plate. It's amazing. Little bits of tomato.
The food here is so good.
Oh, it's the cuisine.
Did you get some of the famous Indiana ceviche?
Yes.
You gotta try it.
Yeah,
you know,
walleye.
The citrus cooks the walleye, not the heat.
Mm. So you ride to the Lucas Oil Stadium, and you sit down for your first interview. You're meeting with you're meeting with the Las Vegas Raiders, Antonio Pierce and Mark Davis.
How you doing, kid?
Hello, Mr. Pierce, Mr. Davis.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Feeling great. Feeling very excited to be here.
I got to give him his shot so that he can be more active during this. Here you go, sir.
Oh! All right. How you feeling? How fast you running these days?
Oh, I think I posted a 4.5 40.
Oof.
Oh, freezing up. What's going on?
Oof.
I mean, that's pretty good for a quarter.
Yeah. No, it's good.
No,
I know, but the Davis family.
We love speed. God, I love me a fast man.
I shouldn't have given him a shot before we talked about speed.
You're starting to freak out a little bit. You're feeling yourself tighten up with the lights on. You try to relax. You think about you watched a bunch of Comedy Central last night.
What are you getting into in our fair city? Who am I? What are you getting into in our fair city?
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
We got Carmen again? This is just like the year everyone Cartmaned us except for Tui Asisopo. We got stuck with his ass.
Who's this Cartman guy? How fast is he?
Sir, he's a little paper mache cartoon.
What's he run a 40 in?
He's 8 years old.
I love a fast 8-year-old.
Did you guys think that was funny?
I mean, it was a decent Cartman impression, but it's not really funny.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Okay, so that's
Adam Sandler
voice doing a Chris Farley line. That's what that was.
Yeah. So your comedy think that was funny? Do you guys think I'm loose?
It's funny that you did it, but I don't think you're funny.
Oh.
Sorry, not a lot of people know this about me, Antonio Pierce, but I'm a kind of like a Mr. Show guy.
You did intern one day on the Howard Stern Show.
Did I really?
You really did. I don't know if you remember.
I do not. Who was the guest?
On the Howard Stern Show that day?
Yeah.
That I don't know.
Oh, you know what? It's coming back to me.
Oh.
It was Andy Dick. And I have stories.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't have an Andy Dick story?
Hey, if you if you work west of the Rocky Mountains, you've had your dick grabbed in a cab by Andy.
And he was driving.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Davis, you got a zinger in there.
Well, you know, I like him fast.
All right. Yeah, I know. We're taking Andy Dick in a taxi in the seventh round. I don't know if it's a legal play, but that's the directive. So tell us, what school are you from again?
I am from the University of Utah.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Ute.
What's your name?
You're one of the men, Mormons?
Yes.
Sir, you can't ask that.
I can't ask that?
But I mean, he said yes, so good. It's okay.
I think it's okay to ask people their religious affiliation.
Yeah.
Okay, and why didn't you go to BYU?
They wouldn't have me.
Too conservative?
Too conservative.
Wow.
Too stiff.
Yeah.
I freaked them out.
You're a little bit stiff. Do you? Your legs are pretty locked up right now. Is that something you're trying to do?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my legs stronger and faster for when I squat later.
Oh, I like this.
Tension all the time.
Good, good, good.
Again, 4.5 is a great 40 time for a quarterback. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I'm a dual threat.
Not as fast as a 4.0, though.
I don't.
Big 4.1.
Or.
A 4.1? Can you run a 4.1?
I'm going to warn you right now. My Wonderlic score is going to be very low.
We
don't care.
I should say our goal is to find a player whose 40 time is lower than his GPA. So you've pretty much got to be insanely fast and have like one of those schools with the bullshit GPAs where they're higher than 4.
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, he was in honor classes. And it's like, that's not a real GPA.
Yeah.
And then you're... white kid doesn't get into Yale and you throw a shit fit online about it.
What
and
are, like, what are these schools?
High schools.
Don't know. Oh, these are high schools?
Yeah. You know, you don't see racist people whose kids didn't get into Yale.
We need...
I know a lot of racist people, but I don't know if they didn't go to Yale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is more like California, New York racists. We have them too, but they're a different type.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not that type of racist.
Yeah.
We're the, like... we never see them types of racists in Utah.
Yeah, very uninformed stereotypes.
Yes.
Not that informed stereotypes are good.
Those are better.
I mean, I guess technically they're better. But look, we're excited to see you out there today.
Yes.
I honestly think this interview didn't go as bad as you thought it would.
I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Oh, this went
what are you doing this weekend?
Huh?
Do you want to hang this weekend?
You want to do some blow with us?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done that before.
You'll love it. I got Steve Young. He was a Mormon. I got him into blow.
Yeah. We started with tea. First, we got him hooked on tea, then Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, eventually blow.
It's like that episode of The Sopranos where he relapses with Valerian tea.
Me, Antonio Pierce, has seen The Sopranos several times, and I don't remember that.
You don't remember 6B?
It's in 6B. That's why I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I'm Antonio Pierce. I could go on and on about The Sopranos, but we don't have to.
So you get up and you leave?
Seamless segue. It's always a seamless segue back in.
He's getting up and leaving. Let's follow him.
I think he just wants to talk for a minute.
He mid Antonio Pierce sentence, you stand up straight, stare at the wall.
He's walking out of here like Gumby.
Yeah, you walk out like Gumby. Hit the door first, and then you remember to like you need to open it.
It's a pull.
Yeah, it's a pull. And then you're off to your next interview.
Oh, 60 minutes.
Yeah. I was thinking it's like a 60-minute picture this. But you tense up and you realize this game isn't for you. You're going to go back to Utah and do your mission work for the rest of your life. You walk out and you never think about football again. But you wish everyone else well, because today is Combine Day.
It's Combine Day.
Time to get measured.
Time to get measured.
And we have a guest today who's, I would say, like, we've mentioned him on the podcast many times.
Yes, he's a, what's the word? Omnipresent?
Yeah.
Ubiquitous.
He's ubiquitous, yeah.
Yeah.
Omnipresent feels like it skews a little more godlike, where ubiquitous.
That's how I see him.
Ubiquitous implies that you're annoyed by how everywhere you are. Like, no one ever says a song is ubiquitous and that's good.
I mean, it's really nice to be considered either, to be honest. Either everywhere, so everywhere I'm annoying, or
godlike,
and give me a little messiah complex.
Yes, we have James Mastriani here today.
Yeah.
Carl's not here.
Carl's at the combine.
You'll never see Carl and I in the same room at the same time.
Why is that?
Yeah, a lot of people wonder why. A lot of people, it's a big mystery. Big mystery. We're not the same person.
Carl refuses to be in the same room as the man.
Yeah, you just missed him. He was here, and then he said he had to run out.
He said, and I'll never be in the same room as that man.
You came in, and you were kind of putting your beard on. I don't know a better way to say that.
Yeah, put it. Velcro it in.
Yeah.
Carl's at the combine.
Yes.
HeadGum sent him there to cover it.
Yeah.
And to enter. And no one's heard from him.
Yeah, we don't know.
His phone is off.
I would do anything. I would drain my bank account if Carl got to just like hold the stopwatch in the 40-yard dash.
You would drain your bank account?
Yeah, well.
Well, what are we talking about?
First of all, there's not a lot, but also I'm famously reckless with money. I mean, it's
yeah. I wouldn't
even give it to anybody. I would just light it all on fire, just hoping
if you were a sick child, what would your make-a-wish be?
Yeah.
Carl holding that hand timer, baby. I just want to see. I want to see.
I want to go to the Disney World parking lot.
I want to meet Robin Williams' assistant.
Who also...
I don't know why Robin Williams was the celebrity that popped into my... Oh, you know why? It's because of Patch Adams and he's with the sick kids. I was like, why did I think Robin Williams was the dream celebrity for kids to me?
I mean, I'm sure at one point he was.
Yeah, probably. Sure. I mean, yeah. Aladdin.
Yeah,
Hook.
Aladdin.
Hook.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Awakenings.
Jack.
Kids love
Awakenings. Big Awakenings. One-hour photo.
Oh, yeah. Insomnia.
Insomnia, yeah. I was about to say, yeah.
What was that god-awful show he did with Sarah Michelle Gellar right before he went?
Oh, before he went.
Before. Not saying they're related.
Before he went.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. We got to look
anyways.
It up. Yeah.
So James is here. James, very plugged in, I feel like, on the off-season draft and combine process.
I love it.
Which is interesting to me because, well, let's first just get in and talk about your...
The crazy ones.
The crazy ones. I was going to say the mentals. So mine was the British version.
Oh, the mentos.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Williams and the mentos.
Have you heard that new Beyonce song, Mental in Love?
It's quite good, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's a right banger. And I don't mean the thing we eat for breakfast.
You've got a good cockney.
Thank you, man. I'm trying to monetize it.
I will drain my bank account.
to get me an audition for a Guy Ritchie movie. I was going to say, it's interesting how plugged in you are to all that, considering I don't think you're a very big college football fan.
I'm not.
But you know these guys when they are presenting themselves. So tell us a little bit about your fandom. I'm excited because you're a fan of...
The Pittsburgh Steelers, baby.
You've kind of got a cool Steelers colored shirt a little bit.
I do. I do. Yeah. I actually bought this shirt because it is black and yellow.
Nice.
Because I was like, yeah. My family is from Pittsburgh.
You come by it more honestly than me. You're a legit Pittsburghian.
Well, but you're East Ohio,
yeah,
right?
Not
like
too far,
that's
yeah.
That's really East Ohio, Northern West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania. It's all like really, really Steelers.
Truly
heavy.
God's country.
Real.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Touched by God's fingers.
Fingered by God. Know.
Definitely the fingernail.
Yeah.
Like a dirty fingernail.
Yeah. Fingernail.
God's coke nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Pittsburgh, I shouldn't make fun because Pittsburgh is a beautiful city. If you're
Pittsburgh
ever out there,
underrated.
Drive out, underrated. Drive through the Fort Pitt Tunnel into town and it's take beautiful. In that view, or just pull up a
maybe
YouTube
just the
video
names
of
everything
it.
Aren't yeah. the best. Like the yeah. Fort Pitt Tunnel, Pittsburgh is not
yeah,
like the most.
Yeah, it's not a great. I mean, it is a, you know, it is a rustic, it's a rust belt rustic city that at one point was the most polluted city in the country, and I think that that added to both its, like,
it's a state
know,
motto.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you moved out here when LA passed it. Is you were like, that's I right. have to be in an even more yeah. polluted city.
I was like, man, this air tastes weird. I need to get back to the thick stuff again.
Yeah. You went to the Beijing Olympics. You're moving yeah. to Mumbai next year. You're chasing that smog.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you know, my whole family is from, we're Pittsburghian. So I grew up a Steelers fan.
Do you
my
remember like
huge.
Your first like taste of Steelers fandom? Like when you got hooked?
Man, when did I get hooked? I think the thing that hooked me was, I do actually, the thing that hooked me was when the season before the Steelers, so I'm 40, so I was born in 83. And the season before the Steelers, what's that?
The math checks out.
Unless your birthday's in yeah. January, motherfucker.
No, it's not. It's not.
You got lucky.
If people listening remember, if you're old enough to remember, the Steelers lost the AFC Championship game in 94. The year before they went and lost to the Super Bowl, or lost the Super Bowl to the Cowboys.
They lost to the Chargers.
They lost to the Chargers.
Last second pass to my favorite player at the time, which was Barry Foster, who was the star running back at the time. I think he, for a long time, he had like 1,600 yards, which is like the most in Steelers history.
Yeah, he's
season.
Kind of a forgotten guy among the yeah. legacy yeah. of
that was like
Steelers
not, was like,
running backs.
Is it going to be like, was it like Yancey Thigpen or something? Or
for Yancey Thigpen was a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just like rushing him.
I'm trying to picture this play because I was definitely super.
Man, I remember like it was yesterday. Yeah. Neil O'Donnell, like it was like a.
Was it a Hail Mary-ish kind of thing?
No, it was on the 2-yard line. And
as like time expired,
yeah, time expired. It was a big play, and it was to win. Like the Steelers would have beat the Chargers, and Junior Seau came from behind Barry Foster and had the most beautiful breakup, the most beautiful pass breakup. You couldn't ask for like a better, like more athletic, smarter play. If anything, it was like fucking don't throw it near Junior Seau. What are you doing? But that season was the first full, like my dad had always, you know, and my family always like pumped up the Steelers. And I guess that was the first year that my brain.
That was my first full season of watching football also.
Yeah. First full season.
The game you described is the first Steelers game I ever watched.
Oh, whoa. Shit. Well, look at this.
Because,
this is
like,
awesome.
They were in the, you know, it was a AFC Championship game. It was big. I remember it was at my childhood home before we moved and like. Yeah, they lost. And then the next, I think my parents threw a Super Bowl party that year, and I had decided I was a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, obviously the Niners, or obviously the Chargers are going to beat the Niners because they were good enough to beat the Steelers, who are my favorite team, so they must be the best team. They got fucking destroyed by...
Dog what? 49-26.
And that was like the year Steve Young was just unstoppable. I do remember as a kid being like, the 49ers scored 49. That's crazy. That was my level of analysis at the time. And then
quite interesting.
It was funny. You say that never thought of it that way.
Because the next year when we made the Super Bowl, didn't that AFC Championship came down to the last play when Harbaugh threw a Hail Mary that they almost caught?
Yeah.
Would have been one of the biggest plays of all time.
And that was a Hail Mary, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
that a full year Hail Mary. Should have been, the AFC Championship game that year should have been Chiefs-Steelers.
Yeah.
Because the Steelers were the 2 seed, the Chiefs were the 1 seed.
With Derek Thomas, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs went 13-3, 8-0 at home, and then lost in the divisional round to the Colts 10-7 with 3 missed field goals.
Oof.
and one of the
they shouldn't have signed Scott Norwood that offseason. Yeah, no.
And then broken his leg before the game started. Yeah,
that's tough. Were they all long at least, or were they like
they were bad misses too? No. And Steve Bono threw, I think, two or three picks.
Oh, this is a Bono year?
Yeah, this is the year after Montana retired.
Oh yeah. Shit.
And then Steve Bono died in a skiing accident, right?
Yeah.
Or no, that's his dad, Sonny Bono.
Yeah, no, they both.
Oh,
they both did.
It's something about the name Bono.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that Irish singer doesn't. Hopefully pronouncing it different will save it.
Stay off the slopes, Bono.
Bono.
God.
Oh, no.
You bonehead.
Yeah, that was a good time to get into football in 1994, I guess.
Yeah, man. And you know, I jumped on a winning train at the time. Bill Cowher was still, you know, he was kind of like a young man. And
yeah, he was cool, man. Yeah,
he was cool. Yeah.
As cool as Tomlin is now, like by 90s standards, Cowher felt cool.
Yeah. Cowher feels like that last phase of coaches that died out who would like just straight up scream and yell at his own players. Or like, I remember like Cowher would grab a player by their face mask and like get in their face. Could you imagine seeing that today? Like, I feel like
it's the kind of shit you only see on like Last Chance U.
Yeah.
Which coach is dying to do it? I mean, like,
David Campbell. Yeah.
You think?
I feel like he's too good natured. I feel like the guy that's dying to do it is probably Jim Harbaugh.
Oh yeah,
you know Jim Harbaugh.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Jim Harbaugh wants to like headbutt dudes, I think.
Yeah,
he wants to headbutt them when they make a good play.
Yeah, for sure. He's a lunatic.
Yeah,
it's definitely not Mike Tomlin. That is not his. Mike Tomlin is like the most diplomatic, like calm and collected dude.
I could have seen like Jack Del Rio doing it when he was around. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets into little dust ups.
Was that Tice guy for the Vikings?
Mike
like
Tice?
Meathead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like that. Oh, you know who wants to do it is he's not a coach right now, but Mike Vrabel for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Vrabel wants to suit up. He just wants to get in there and yeah.
And then, so you came in.
Kyle Shanahan wants to spank everyone.
Who?
Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. wants to give everyone a spanking.
Yeah.
So you got in a good time. That's a good time too, because the Pirates are like waning at that point, and they've stayed waned ever since.
They lost me, man. They lost me. I used to work at PNC Park. I was like a huge
PNC is a beautiful stadium.
Gorgeous,
one of the best stadiums in North America.
Yeah. I went 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Brought my parents. They'd never seen it before.
Was there an event?
No event. The event was my fiance's bridal shower.
So right, but I mean, at the
there was
sorry to blow past. Fuck off that.
there was a like marathon race happening that like was winding down or like just finished. So we went to both parks, and the only thing my dad wanted to do was take a photo. So there was a lot of like exhausted teens and college kids, and then my dad going like taking big pics. Yeah,
Did you walk over the Clemente Bridge over?
No, I don't think so.
It's really nice walk. Around.
Yeah.
Both Pittsburgh and Cincy have really nice like riverfront stadium areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, so
but a dog shit baseball team. I mean, like a dog shit owner.
Every like 12 years, they have one good season. Like, it'd be like 2013, they were okay. It'd be like they had one good McCutcheon year, one good Jason Bay year.
Yeah.
It's like every 10 years, but it's tough. But the Steelers have been pretty, at bargain basement, decent our entire, like, we've been very worse.
I mean, like, of your fandom, I mean, off the top of my head, like, the year before you drafted Roethlisberger be like the worst?
No, because Maddox won comeback player of the year that year, I believe.
Yeah, there were 2 years right after, like, there were 2 years, I think, in the late 90s where we went, or maybe early 2000s, where I think it was like the Kent Graham year.
I was going to say, it was like quite kind of between Slash and Tommy Maddox.
We
was
like
6
and
Graham.
10.
Yeah, that was rough.
I think 6 and 10 was our worst record.
But even then, we had so many dope dudes on defense that it was like,
yeah. Because I remember that's how we got like Plexico, Burris.
Yeah. So, no, 2003, the year before you drafted Roethlisberger, you guys went 6-10 then. So you had to be in pretty good shape because he went top 10, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Was he a little outside?
And then
99, wasn't he?
Maybe was he like 11?
Yeah, I think so.
He was 11, yeah.
Yeah, because you had Eli first. Okay.
And Rivers was there. Rivers was fourth.
Yeah. Eli was first. Was that Robert Gallery?
No, because Robert Gallery was first, wasn't he?
No, he was second. Okay. He went second.
I can't remember what. Yeah. Oh man, Robert Gallery.
One of these days, all I can go. I can do. Flop. I can do top first overall pick. I can go back like to like this year all the way back to I think like 90.
All right, let me give you any year, and you got to name who the first overall pick was. Okay, ready?
Okay, between now and then,
2023.
Give me a good one though. For 2005.
2005.
That would be Alex Smith.
I know. I was supposed to
say. Yes.
92.
I think that's Dan Wilkinson.
Dan Wilkinson. Wow.
When was Kijana Carter? 95.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Wilkinson might have been 94. Actually,
some busts.
92 might have been Bledsoe or Russell Merrill.
92 is Unforgiven, and 93 is Schindler's List. Wait, what are we doing?
Yeah, Gallery went two in 2004, then Larry Fitzgerald, and then Philip Rivers. What a good draft class.
That's an amazing Larry Fitzgerald, man.
So that's a good segue. We got two Super Bowls in our lifetime. One of them involved Larry Fitzgerald, who also played college. Are you a Pitt? So you're not a Pitt fan at all? You don't have any soft spot for Pitt or Penn State?
I absolutely have a soft spot for Pitt.
Who is great at producing elite NFL players.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Like Aaron Donald, Darrell Revis, LeSean McCoy.
At one point in the NFL, you could have argued that Pitt had given you the best running back in the league in McCoy.
Yeah.
Wide. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but they would all been in the argument. Best running back in McCoy, best wideout in Fitzgerald, best D lineman in Donald, best DB in Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
All Hall of Famer. Well, McCoy's probably not a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I think McCoy's a Hall of Famer.
Is he?
Shady McCoy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he stuck around and racked up some career numbers. I don't know.
I think running backs, like, I don't know if running backs will have the same log jam that wide receivers have. I think
because not many people had longevity.
Yeah,
because you're not putting like your Todd Gurley's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah, the tough one's going to be like this. Frank Gore will probably get in because he's the third all-time leading rusher. Yeah. But like,
guy's still he's still playing. We just don't even know it.
Yeah,
he ran for 1,400 yards last year.
My name is Devon Achane. He really ratcheted up the speed.
Yeah.
Jesus, dude, what are you doing?
My name is. He looks over and sees what's the piece of furniture that's close to Devon? I fucked this off.
An armchair?
Yeah, sure.
A duvet?
Yeah, he sees a duvet, but he thinks it's called a Devon because he's got head injuries. And then he sees someone on 8chan.
Because he has head injuries.
Yeah, so like what kind of 2000s-y running backs get in? Adrian Peterson.
For sure.
Probably Frank Gore.
LT.
I think he's already in.
He's already
in.
Is Sean Alexander in?
No, he's not getting in.
Is Marshawn Lynch in?
No, he's first eligible next year.
He should get in.
He's got to get in.
He'll get in.
He should get in on vibes alone.
Derrick Henry has to get in.
He will. Yeah.
That'd be insane if he didn't get in.
Yeah. But the guys that are
like Foster didn't play long. Like Foster was. And Foster and Gurley had these highs. Does Zeke get in?
No. So you know who would have if he would have?
Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell, I will die on this hill. Le'Veon Bell is one of the most talented running backs I've ever watched, just in general.
Like, from like athleticism to like his approach to like the way he would wait for holes.
Everything.
Like his vision.
He would stop
for like 2-3 years.
It was insane. It was like it was truly felt like you were watching something special.
This is Ryan has all the same feelings for God. Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. Jamal Charles.
Like, yeah,
is
just
also,
get done with the lip.
Finish talking so I can talk.
Yeah. Finish up, please. So I think the cutoff for the Hall of Fame probably ends at Lynch or Gore. And so, like, I think Jamal Charles probably just misses out, doesn't get in.
You think
I think Le'Veon Bell doesn't get in.
No way, Le'Veon.
But like Le'Veon, if he had just stayed with the Steelers, signed that contract, played an entire career, he also at the time was catching an average of like 90 balls a year as a slot receiver.
And instead, he sat out and was replaced with another Pitt Panther, James Conner.
That's right.
Full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was great.
He was great.
He's like a, when they joke about the NFL script, he's like one of those guys that makes you believe in it too. You tell me like a guy who played at Pitt and then beat cancer as a college player and gets drafted by the Steelers and then has a great fucking rookie year. Like that's NFL script shit.
Yeah.
Real feel good story. Do you guys think as Steelers fans that Antonio Brown, I mean, he gets in, right? But like, I don't know if he does, man.
I don't think he gets in.
He's the best. I think he's the best like offensive player in Steelers history.
He
probably
had a 5-year span that's up with any 5-year span of any wideout.
I think that gets you in.
Maybe it does.
I think if you are the best or top 2 or 3 at your position for that many number of years, I think you're a lock.
Megatron's in, Fitzgerald's in. Andre Johnson's in now.
Julio Jones is getting in.
Yeah.
What about Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne get in?
Oh, yeah.
Or just Harrison?
Harrison is in. Reggie Wayne, maybe he's...
Did Reggie Wayne not get in?
Oh. When you mentioned Yancey Thigpen, I was going to talk about this, but Amir Blumenfeld, I was going to say malevolent boss,
benevolent,
magnanimous boss.
Reggie Wayne is not a...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I work with Amir's wife, Avital, and they did a funny, like, it was like a take on those, like, if my wife can name 10 players. And it starts off, she's like, Tom Brady, Travis Kelce. She's like, Dan Marino, because she's from Miami. And then, like, the turn is she goes... Nate Burleson, Sebastian Janikowski, Ray Guy, Ray Nietzsche. It was a very funny bit.
That's very funny.
And it ends, I think she says Neil Rackers at one point. It cracked me up. But it ended with the Yancey Thigpen. And I was like, oh, that hurts my soul. Because one of my earliest sport, probably my first like sports heart, true heartbreak was him. I think on like Christmas Day or New Year's Eve or something. Last game of the year against the Packers in like 97. And just wide open in the end zone as time expires, and Yancey Thigpen dropped it. Great player.
I think I remember this.
Had
play.
Like broken the single season receiving record for the Steelers, which is pretty fucking incredible when you consider that they had Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, although they just ran the ball so much that those guys weren't putting up like 1,600 yards, but were Hall of Famers, and would have been like the perfect, would have been NFL script stuff.
Yeah.
And instead, just like, ooh, heartbreaking.
Mm. Yeah, I think I remember that.
And I can never hear the word Yancey without thinking of it. It comes up all the time.
What a word. What a word.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We've been talking lately about each team's Mount Rushmore.
So you have to do a Mount Rushmore, but there's some leeway because we call them Chernobyl Mount Rushmores because they've grown some extra heads.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can do like six or seven.
Yeah, so you do like the four, and then like you kind of get the honorable mentions, but they get heads on the Mount Rushmore also.
And what are the parameters of like, is this like coaches?
Players only.
Players only, okay, okay.
It is just like truly... If they put you in charge of building a Mount Rushmore outside of this Akershire,
right?
Yeah, the Steelers.
You get to pick, and you're gonna have to deal with people liking or not liking it. What four people are you putting?
Which players are like the most Pittsburgh Steelers players?
All right, so the first, I think the most obvious one, and the one who like changed the entire franchise, Mean Joe Green, has to be him. He has to be, you know, he's George Washington, right?
I think we're definitely, I did four last week, and I think we'll definitely have three of the same, and then the fourth one I'm curious
about.
Yeah,
I gave mine last week. Oh, that was the other thing, is we're going to test ours against what real fans did. So mine was, as a non-Steelers fan, the one that I thought of was Mean Joe Green, Polamalu, Bradshaw Roethlisberger.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Which I think there's one that has to be on there that you left out that I think James is going to say.
Okay.
Curious. Yeah.
So you're saying,
I mean, if we're talking about legends, if we're talking about like legendary.
Oh, I know.
I think Jack Lambert has to be.
Interesting. Okay. So you're going 270s defense, guys.
Absolutely.
All right.
For sure.
So are you
for
leaving sure. Bradshaw out then, or are you going 370s?
Well, here's the thing.
Guys?
Like, here's the thing. And this is where it gets kind of like tricky when we're talking about this. Like, Bradshaw's not any longer beloved by Steelers fans. Steelers fans don't like Bradshaw
That's
any longer.
So.
What's that?
I mean,
for the most part.
See, I'm not in Pittsburgh. That's
because of the suicide thing he said.
What did he say?
What was the suicide thing?
You guys remember this? I think it was this.
The Roberto Clemente Bridge is the best place to commit suicide.
No, it was...
Yeah, he did that's right. He did a commercial for suicide.
Yeah, that was a tough look.
He paid for it.
No, it was during like a segment on Fox, like the pregame show. And I think it was like if he wasn't able to run the ball, like as a quarterback, he's like, I think if he was forced to actually throw the ball, he'd want to commit suicide.
Who was he talking about?
Oh, God. Is it something we can pull up? Or
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta watch him.
Is it a worse clip than his performance in Failure to Launch with Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey?
It is like... like the audio of it, I think, is really great, and then the visual of everyone just like it's like there's like this beat, and where he's just kind of like it doesn't faze him at all that what he just said was really bad, and everyone else in the studio is like, hey, whoa, that's not okay.
Man, I mean, there's like that famous story about like some defensive player hurt his feelings because he said like Terry Bradshaw is so dumb he couldn't spell cat. If you spotted him,
yes.
It was like if you gave him all three letters.
If you gave him the C, the A, and the T.
Yeah,
I remember. I haven't thought about that in so long.
And like it like really bothered Terry Bradshaw a lot because he was everybody. His whole thing was like he's really stupid.
That was like my uncle was a big Browns fan, still is. My uncle Steve, shout out. And he would tease, like, as a kid, when I found out about the Steelers winning four Super Bowls in the 70s, I was like, oh, we rule. And I was like, Terry Bradshaw. That's what my uncle would always say. He would quote that line. Be like, he couldn't spell cat if you gave him the C, the A, and the T. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get this clip in a second. But until then,
so you're putting
Mean Joe and Jack Lambert.
I think so, because, like...
Sorry to throw this at you, Kevin. Yeah.
I think that, like, the defensive kind of... branding of the Steelers. I think it those two players are kind of the linchpins of that. I think Ben Roethlisberger would absolutely be on there, and I think Jerome Bettis.
Those are the four.
Those are the four. Well, I think Troy Polamalu probably would be.
Okay, now we're getting into the Chernobyl.
Yeah.
All right, but Bettis was the one I knew you were going to say that Ryan left.
That's your
out.
Personal. Oh, I thought you were going to say Hines Ward.
No,
I thought Hines
I think
Ward.
Bettis. I love Hines Ward, and I think I put him in mine. But I think Bettis is like undeniably top.
He's Pittsburgh royalty.
So like
he's
emblematic.
Such Pittsburgh royalty. Like whereas like Pittsburgh doesn't love Bradshaw anymore. Pittsburgh will probably all go to Jerome Bettis's funeral.
It's also a level of like, how many guys become that beloved in a city without like playing start to finish their career there?
That's what's
Bettis
so wild
started
to me
in the Rams.
Yeah,
right?
How long? Yeah, but he was with the Rams. He was like the rookie of the year for the Rams too.
But he only played two seasons for them.
Yeah,
that's wild to me.
They traded him after the second season to the right before the draft.
I guess maybe like Drew Brees would be the closest example I could think of, a guy who's like an icon in one city who didn't play his whole career there.
Yeah,
but like, yeah,
he was a Saints. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, there's, you know, the
or Brett Favre,
I have my own personal favorites for sure, but as of right now, I think those are the guys. Honestly, I think the guy coming in real hot that's gonna end up probably
Pickett
is
or Rudolph
is
TJ.
Kenny P, baby. No, TJ Watt for sure. Yeah. I think he'll
get there.
If he keeps doing what he's doing, man, I think he is doing. He might end up going down as...
Let's not sleep on Allen Robinson. Quiet 200 yards last year. A quiet 200 yards.
But some really great blocks.
Yeah.
Okay, right, great. So this is the
so
clip.
This is
I got to hear this clip.
We're hearing a clip.
Shocked you guys haven't seen this. This is...
I don't think I've seen this, but I love that it's just called Terry Bradshaw Makes Suicide Comment.
Well, I'd like
They're
to
not
going to
do it. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
Their mentality is throw, 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 throw. I think if this kid ran five or six runs in a row, I think he'd commit suicide or something.
Whoa, that's a little dark for this.
Strahan.
Michael Strahan.
Strahan could have been on The fucking Office.
Oh,
that
man.
Was Jim Halpert.
That was, yeah, that was
never
a Jim Halpert.
What a look. Excellent straight man work. By
was that
Michael
Sean Payton standing
yeah,
next
that's,
to him? Is this during Payton's hiatus here?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is recent?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
this was,
who's he talking about? The car?
Oh,
is he talking about
like
Russell Wilson?
A year ago.
Probably Kyler.
Oh, he's talking about Kyler. Kyler runs the ball all the time.
Kyler, just commit suicide.
And he looks,
Kyler.
He looks so agitated.
Who?
Terry, like beforehand, like he's so worked up. Can we watch it? Just
he
one more time?
He is a weird dude.
I want to see Connor get involved.
Oh,
Connor.
Oh, James Connor.
Well, like
they're not
going to
do it. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
Their mentality is throw, 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 throw. I think if this kid ran five or six runs in a row, I think he'd commit suicide or something. They have
whoa,
to throw.
Audience.
The camera guy and the editor, it's all the off.
There's also Jay Glazer there, who has been really open about his issues, like struggles with mental health. And
oh,
and so he's saying it about James Conner, a man who beat cancer.
He's also like
he's saying that all they do is throw, and if Conner had to run the ball five times, he'd commit. So that's crazy.
He's also like really talking
God
so close
him.
To Sean Payton, and they've got plenty of space. To,
I love him
to navigate. A
couple
there.
Louisiana boys,
and he's got no real sense of like how to cheat his body towards the camera.
Yeah,
he's just like profile yelling at Sean Payton that James Conner should commit suicide.
Fun time.
Would prefer it.
The blonde bomber.
All right, let's. Shift gears on that note. Let's talk a little bit about the draft class, the combine, what your feelings are. First, let's talk QBs.
And we can talk about the Steelers a little bit. Like, are they looking at a quarterback?
Do they go tackle?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. Kenny Pickett is going to get another. Here's something. Obviously, Kenny Pickett was terrible last year, and I'm not somebody. I don't believe. I feel weird saying this. I don't believe in Kenny Pickett. I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. But I think everybody knows that the Steelers really fucked him up by having Matt Canada be. The offensive coordinator and bringing him back, and more stuff has come out about that process. And so, you know, I think he's going to be given an opportunity under Arthur Smith, who's higher. I am actually higher on than I was originally.
Would you say this on the record? And I'm not saying this. I'm asking if you would. Would
Is
you
this
say
for
that,
the Washington Post?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you say that's my other job? Would you say that learning How to Run an NFL Offense under Matt Canada is like that movie Dogtooth, where they keep the kids prisoner and teach them like a weird language. Would you say that
you have to get rid of the Dogtooth before you can leave?
I have not actually seen the movie.
Oh, really? Oh, it's so good.
No, it's Yorgos.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's his first.
But I would love it.
Yeah.
Would you say that on the record? I'm not saying it.
Yeah, yeah. I would go ahead and put that. I don't know what you're talking about, but I would put that on the record. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say it's the equivalent of weird parents raising kids isolated with weird language and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, and then like setting room free in the world.
It's like Room.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Room.
Yeah.
Matt Canada is sort of the Sean Bridgers character.
Yeah. It's truly. I mean, Matt Canada was definitely he's the biggest blemish on Mike Tomlin's coaching career, for sure.
I mean, when he's getting like kind of trashed by the punter, like
I know.
Or was that Boswell?
It was Boswell.
Yeah,
it was
like, Boswell. Yeah, you know, is there like celebrating after
a victory.
Yeah. And like Canada's like, yeah, yeah. And Boswell's like trailing him right behind, being like, yeah, you had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Apparently, like, there, Matt Canada was not not the nicest guy. A lot of people didn't really like him. He wouldn't offer like any reasons behind his philosophies. I mean, maybe seemingly he doesn't have any because he's a terrible play caller.
Where did he come from again?
He actually orchestrated the greatest offensive season in Pitt history with Nathan
Peterman
at quarterback. They averaged 43 points a game.
The guy who threw four picks in an NFL hat.
Yeah. So from that, he got this huge contract to go be the offensive coordinator for LSU. They, because of that one Pitt season, and like he was also known, I guess, like a lot of the kind of Shanahan stuff, like the jet sweeps and stuff. He was known for kind of like incorporating that, you know, a little bit earlier than everybody else. But and apparently Sean McVay like claims that he loves his run game concepts, but at LSU, gets fired after one fucking year, moves to Maryland, becomes the offensive coordinator of Maryland. Mike Tomlin's son goes to Maryland. He's a defensive back for Maryland. And then Matt Canada gets the head coaching job at Maryland before getting fired. And so Mike Tomlin brings him on as Ben Roethlisberger's quarterback coach.
And then Roethlisberger loved him, right?
Roethlisberger, I don't think ever loved any of his offensive coordinators except for Bruce Arians.
They probably wanted him to work out.
What's that?
They probably wanted him to exercise, and he resented that.
Could you jog on the treadmill for 10 minutes?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
Start hitting him with the Dana Carvey George Bush. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. Not a lot of people know this about Roethlisberger, but all the time he saves by not watching pornography, he catches up on old SNL.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No,
he's talking. Man. He's watching the Piscopo stuff. He's watching Julia Louis-Dreyfus's year. He's all over.
I'm Gumby, damn it.
That's him doing Eddie Murphy.
So regarding the Steelers in the draft, I think, you know, here's the thing about the Steelers right now. They brought in Andy Weidel, who is considered to be the best line builder in the NFL.
I've been saying it for years.
He's
about Anthony Weidel.
Anthony. It's Andy.
Andy.
Weidel. He famously built the Baltimore Ravens offensive defensive line. Then he built the Philadelphia Eagles offensive defensive line.
So teams that are doing pretty good in the trenches.
Totally. And so the Steelers hired him to be the assistant GM last year. And I think specifically they did that because they want to build the trenches up. I think that
Mason Cole gone.
I think they're getting a center. I think people, Steelers fans listening, I think are thinking all these different positions. I think we're going to see like defensive linemen. I think we're going to, it's not going to be the sexy picks for sure. Which we need.
But it's what I've been begging for years.
Yeah.
Rebuilding in the trenches basically since like the wane of David DeCastro and
Pouncey and.
Yeah, not much of a wane for Villanueva, but
yeah.
I mean, I suppose you can wane A little. waned. He just wasn't high to start with, and then he became
that
terrible.
Patriotism, man. It kept kept those offensive or those outside linebackers at bay. Yeah.
We're getting crushed on the QB's blind side, but at least we got a vet in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So James, you're super like plugged into all this, to the combine. It's coming up. So let's go maybe by position group, because we've got fans of probably about like 28, 27 teams that listen to this show.
Yeah. The only teams that we don't have are the teams with no actual fans, like the Jaguars. If you're a Jags fan, send us an email and we'll fucking have you on the show.
Yeah, we'll fly you out.
And you can't be the fictional character from The Good Place.
Yeah, you cannot be that guy.
You can't be Jason Mendoza.
So like if you're in the market for a quarterback,
yeah.
Now obviously there's the three,
right.
The big three.
Yeah.
You've got Caleb Williams, who seemed like I think you've got like two definite generational prospects potentially in Caleb Williams and Drake May.
Yeah.
I'm also a huge Jaden Daniels fan personally.
Yeah. He's fun to watch.
He came to my birthday, so I'm just like, I'm a huge.
What he's a guy. Yeah.
He seems like really.
I guess my invite got lost in the mail.
I only invite LSU players. He's the first one to ever show up.
Did Fanica show up?
He sent me a real angry letter. A real angry no.
What about Honey Badger? Was he there?
Not that year, but once he became a Chiefs player and he heard what a big fan I was. He said, hey, I'm so sorry.
Is it just LSU football players, or like has Shaq ever showed up?
No, Shaq's never showed up.
But do you invite him? I could do this game for a long time. I know way too many college alma maters. I'm like, did Tari Eason show up?
Yeah, he did, actually, now that I think about it. But I was
Jarvis,
like,
Landry?
Huh?
Jarvis Landry?
He got lost.
Mm.
Yeah. I told him it was at Bigfoot Lodge, and he went to the wrong one.
That's how he wound up in Cleveland. You only wind up on the Browns if you got lost horribly.
Going to
all right, so we got three really big ones, and then
they're probably going to go 1, 2, 3 in the draft.
I think so. And I just looked up because I was like, oh, I was trying to think of a comp for Jaden Daniels, and I just looked up this dude. And he was another New Orleans guy. Do you remember Aaron Brooks?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, they're kind of similar sized. And you know,
Saints QB. Oh, Carl's gonna be so bummed. He missed
from the
talking
Saints,
about Aaron Brooks.
I know.
they had some playoff runs under him, did they not?
Yeah, man, he had a pretty decent.
You
career.
Wouldn't
have
been
a good like.
It was like when Sean King had the Bucks and Aaron Brooks had the. I remember those guys in the same breath.
He is pretty similar in that. So like, he was 6'4", and at the combine he waved in at 203. And Jaden Daniels is like 6'3", like 210, which that's the big story on him is like, man, he is thin.
Yeah.
Can he get hit by, you know,
this random Bleacher Report, article compares him to Tyrod Taylor.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know if you want to take Tyrod Taylor with the third overall pick. I see a little bit more upside there.
I like Tyrod Taylor.
I think he's very accurate. And I think he's better with using his legs. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow past this because I just want to say it's something that me and these NFL evaluators have in common is we consider 210 pounds to be really thin. And we would love to be 210 pounds.
Too thin. But then we've got some guys that I think...
Your skin and bones.
210.
210 pound Greg, eat something. Did the taco truck close down outside your apartment? Do you like Daniels overall, though? Like,
man, I do. I think he's really fun to watch. I think, yeah, he looks so. He looks like a dual threat, like an exciting dual threat.
One of the quietest Heisman Trophy wins.
Yeah,
but which is crazy because his season's like the greatest season ever.
But LSU just like wasn't really
his
in the mix.
Completion percentage was super high, right?
And all the publicity was going to USC and Colorado for a while, and then Michigan, like even before they won, they were dominating the news.
And Georgia was all, yeah.
Yeah, Georgia and Bama, Ohio State, and it feels like Washington, they just, like, I think I was on the air and on the podcast, and someone was like, well, Jaden Daniels won, and I was like, what? Like, he was great, but he just, like, didn't get a lot. Like,
it felt
maybe
like
the quietest Heisman win ever.
I feel like Michael Penix was getting more heat for a while. Yeah,
definitely. I think because LSU's season wasn't anything to.
No, it was pretty yucky.
Yeah.
But it happens. I mean, I feel like Manziel won a Heisman when they were like 7-5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens, you know. It's it's Mike Trout winning MVP and for MVP on the fourth place Astros or Angels.
Right. So you've got so it's kind of like a deep quarterback class too though, right? Because you've got like potential like I think we're going to end up seeing like 5 quarterbacks go in the first round.
So that's tier, it feels like tier one is Caleb and May, and then tier 1A is Daniels. And then is that next tier Penix and McCarthy?
I mean, it's McCarthy and Nix.
I think it's McCarthy and Bo Nix. Yeah.
Right. Now, Bo Nix is old as shit. Is that correct? Penix is too, though.
He's just like Kenny Pickett was, like 6 years starting.
I know. So that scares me away.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was Penix kind of. Penix was like injuries and transfers and.
Totally. But I guess there is that thing of like, oh, yeah, you're 24.
Oh, no. It's got him here is 77.
He was born in 77?
Yeah.
He is 77.
I was born in 83. I'm 40.
Bo Nix, he only has like another 10 years to run for president, let alone.
here's the most important thing, though, is you know, forget the stats, forget the season, forget the age. It's all about the name. What's the name? The name, is that a quarterback name?
Bo Nix.
I think we got the top 5 quarterbacks. Michael Penix is not.
No.
We got Penix and Nix.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler.
That's a QB's name.
Good name.
Could be. Yeah.
Rattler. Absolutely.
Rattler, yay. Spencer, not so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of crossover between good QB names and good names for a villain on Justified. I feel like Spencer, but like Raylan.
Rattler.
Raylan, who you after this year? Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix. Them boys out of Versailles.
Okay, yeah, so good deep quarterback class.
Yeah, man.
Rattler at one point was like considered like a potential guy that could make his way to being like a top pick.
It feels like there's like a couple Gardner Minshews in there. I feel like Michael Pratt from Tulane's going to end up starting for 2 seasons somewhere.
Interesting.
I feel like Spencer Rattler could be like he's getting a lot of Baker Mayfield comps.
Yeah.
But more accurate.
Won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Let's not
talk about that.
Oh. Okay, now if your team is in the market for a running back, the guy from Tennessee is seeming like he is.
And they won't tell us his name.
Yeah.
He's just the guy from Tennessee. I'm worried I'm drafting Johnny Cash.
I want to say Jalen Warren, but that's not.
I think it's Jalen Wright.
Yeah, he's really fast.
He's crazy fast, man. At like 210 pounds, he feels,
too skinny.
It feels like people like that Jonathan Brooks dude from Texas.
And the Bucky Irving, the Oregon.
Now, that is not a running back name. No. Bucky Irving?
No, that's not.
The Captain America sidekick.
Oh, when we get to wideouts, we're going to talk about one of the great names, and you all know what I'm talking about. We got a great wideout name.
Oh, we do have a great wideout.
But we're not there yet.
Whiteout.
Yeah, it feels like the guy from Tennessee, like whenever a running back comes in with that kind of speed now, I'm just kind of like salivating at the idea of him winding up with the right guy.
Yeah.
Or like what happened with Devon Achane.
Man.
Or like if you wind up with, I mean, the Dolphins and Niners are all full up on running backs right now, but I don't know what other, like, hell, send one of those guys to Pittsburgh.
Honestly, the Steelers need a third running back, and we need like a burner. He would be we got rid of Anthony McFarland, who was our burner.
Booger
Jr. Yeah.
Who?
Booger Jr.
Holy shit, is he Booger McFarland's son? How did I not know
that? I think it is. Yeah.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did we only have him because Matt Canada was at Maryland for a while and he was like, this guy's good, trust me?
Well, I think that, and he had a 300-yard rushing day against Ohio State. And ran a 4.38 or something like that. But
so
yeah,
Jalen Wright is a burner like that, you're saying.
Yeah, he's like that. He's gonna run in like the 4.3s, it sounds like.
All right, well, let's talk a little wideouts then.
Okay, who? I'm lost. Who is? What's the name? Who's got the great name?
Lad McConkey.
Oh yeah. My God, what am I doing here?
Lad with two D's.
Lad McConkey.
Lad
could
McConkey.
Be a redneck, could be Irish. You don't know.
His
with
whole
this guy.
Family is awesome. His whole family.
He's like in the Banshees of like, I just don't want to be your slot receiver no more.
I'm an ex.
You wanted to be a slot yesterday.
But my mind's changed.
Every day you line me up in the slot, I'll cut off one of me fingers.
I've got a diverse route tree.
His father's name is
Benji. Your
route
tree's dull. Oh, it's always been dull. Wait, what's his foot?
Benji is
Benji
his father.
Benji McConkey?
Benji McConkey.
I don't know where that guy's from.
I'm looking up. I think his brothers all have like really funny.
I mean, at that point, you got to pull it like a Chipper Jones and definitively go by a nickname and have it be Donkey. If you're telling me
I'm Donkey McConkey,
if I'm choosing between Jalen Polk and a guy named Donkey McConkey, I'm like, come on, give me the Donk Man.
Oh, his brother's name is Hinton. Lad Hinton Benji.
These are my four boys.
Each one of them bigger off milk than the last. Straight from the teat. That's not a puffy sweater. He's just a brick shit house.
Just a freshman in college and drinking breast milk from his mother.
He sails over the Atlantic each day for class.
And then can still have his nutrition at night.
Yeah. But the fun thing about him too is like, man, he looks like he's fucking awesome.
He's a little speedy guy, right?
Yeah, and he's so shifty. And he looks like a blast. He looks like a blast.
Who would you rather have to be your little speedy guy, him or Roman Wilson from Michigan?
Oh man, give me Roman Wilson.
Okay.
Just because Roman Wilson is like I think like thicker and also he laterally is
I'm sorry boy
breakfast.
They say you're not thick enough.
He's gonna break records, I feel like, laterally. He's so fun to watch, honestly.
Who
I'd take either one of them.
Who are they taking over me? The Romans.
Michigan.
I don't know enough about history to follow through. Yeah. On this. Did the Roman Empire make it to Ireland? Who fucking knows? I gotta watch Kunk on Earth again. Yeah,
they conquered the British Isle.
They got up there. They got
oh,
close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Roman Wilson, I was going to say, like, quiet towards the end of the year at Michigan, but I did the thing you do when your team has a good year where I watched, like, supercuts on YouTube, and it was, like, every touchdown of the Michigan season. And then if you watch it, the first 3 weeks are a full season's worth of highlights for Roman Wilson. He had, like, five or six touchdowns. It was, like, every touchdown was to Roman Wilson. He's got to run like a 4.31 or something.
Oh, great. For sure. And like, he's not as strong as him, but he is getting some AB comparisons.
Uh-oh.
Roman Wilson. Uh-oh. I've read a few comparisons, been like, got some AB in him. He's a blast to watch. And I
Angela
would...
Bassett.
Yeah. Angela Bassett did the thing.
Wow. We did it. It took us 30 episodes or whatever, but we finally got to the...
Ariana DeBose.
Yeah.
I was going to shoehorn it in earlier.
Vernon Davis, my woman king. all right.
Another wide receiver I like real quick that I'm just like, fascinated by is Johnny Wilson from Florida State.
Man, he's so huge.
6'7", 237, and moves Ooh, pretty good.
Crazy huge.
So that'll be an
but
interesting
is he, But here's the question. Is he Hakeem Butler?
That's
2.0.
That's the comp you gave. You told me.
It has to be the comp, right? Who else? What other receivers ever come in the league at 6'7"?
That's
fast.
Someone that it's... It speaks to your talent that you haven't let them make you a tight end yet, because you know they've been trying to make him a tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if not absolutely. A fucking tackle.
Harold Carmichael was 6'8".
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Oh.
And he was born in 1949.
We've all seen LeBron. Oh my God. We've seen LeBron play wide out in those clips, and he was 6'8", yeah. You know?
a 6'8 guy born in the 40s, like, sports had to be the only thing that he couldn't fit in an office.
Probably couldn't get on a damn plane.
Probably couldn't get in a train. No. Probably couldn't get in a car. Probably couldn't sit in some.
Well, that also might have been. Was he black?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was just our fault as a country, not just this height.
Yeah, we were multiple reasons. It might have been just
there might have been other things at play there, sociologically speaking.
It's a deep wide receiver class. It's great. It's like it's looking awesome. Like one of the best wide receiver classes ever, which is a good thing if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan, because we are desperate need of some wide receiver.
And you guys know, because I've been doing this the last couple of years. Like, I'm not like a scout. I don't know anything.
Yeah, we know.
But I do. What'd you say?
I'm just trying. I said, we know.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. But I do like to, the one position each year that I'll go and just watch highlights of.
I'm the same way. I feel like that's the one where I'm like, yes, I think I see what's good and what's bad.
Absolutely. I feel like I can tell the eye test of like, oh, this is going to be a good wide receiver. This is going to be a bad wide receiver, or not a good wide receiver. Any other position,
I have
no
idea
clue.
What the fuck I'm looking at.
No clue. Yeah. Every quarterback to me looks insanely amazing.
Yeah.
That's why you have to watch the Ben Solak breakdowns.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So
you guys should get him on. Why am I here? Get him on this show.
He hates me.
He didn't play at LSU, so we can't invite him.
Oh, shit.
What do you think of Rome Odunze, is that how you say it?
Dude, yeah, he is.
Because he was not super impressive in the national title game, but also like Michigan's defense is really
Michigan's
good.
Defense is nasty. He is, he might be my favorite player in the draft.
You have
to watch.
Number one wideout?
What's that?
You think he's in besides Harris. Obviously,
no,
Harrison, even mentioned. It's funny we haven't even mentioned
the
Harrison.
The greatest wide receiver prospect of
I know. Yeah. It's almost like not even fair. Marvin Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Rome Odunze, he does remind me of Larry Fitzgerald. Big, amazing hands. This dude catches fucking everything.
I've heard a lot of DeAndre Hopkins comps.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Everything, if it touches his hands, he's bringing it in. It's so fun to watch.
They say the same thing about, is it Adonai Mitchell?
Adonai Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah.
Mitchell.
He's from Tennessee or Texas?
Texas.
I know he's one of those orange schools.
Yeah.
He only had like one drop all year or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got.
And also huge. Like, all these dudes this year are
big.
Huge.
Which we've not had. We've like, you could like, it's been like impossible to find an X wide receiver in these last few draft classes. And now it's like all X receivers.
The number, Zay Flowers last year was drafted. Zay Flowers is 4'9".
Yeah.
He's so tiny. And like, he was like, was he the first receiver drafted last year? I feel like.
He was ahead of Johnson.
I think he was. Yeah.
This year, guys going in the top 15, three guys in the top 15 are going to be 6'4".
This is, we need the sound drop of Sam Richardson on I Think You Should Leave going, look at this crop. This is a crop. We got a crop this year.
Actually, Jackson Smith and Jigba was the first
receiver. Oh, yeah, because he was like 15, 16.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Or no, he was.
And then Quentin Johnston, then Zay Flowers.
Oh, he Quint.
Oh, fuck me then, I guess.
Four wide receivers in a row after none. Yeah.
Could you, if you build a wide receiver core for your team right now, just out of all Ohio State guys, or all LSU guys, who would have the better wide receiver group?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Because LSU, LSU, because Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
It's pretty tough to beat. Unless Marvin Harrison Jr. is.
Yeah.
Could go 5 years back in time for Michael Thomas.
Well, let's go. Yeah. So if you were going to choose between Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Jackson Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Or Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and who's the third one? Is it Malik Nabers?
Terrence Marshall Jr. would be a safe pick.
Yeah.
No, I feel like there's another big LSU.
There's a big.
Well, there's Brian Thomas, too, who's coming out this year.
I mean, Nabers has the pedigree. There's been other big name LSU wide receivers.
You still have Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
He's not totally cooked yet.
I mean, if we're going that far back, I think.
Kayshon Booty, Dwayne Bowe.
Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, just of all time?
Early Doucette.
Remember Devery Henderson?
Yeah.
Remember his college play? Do you remember that?
No.
It was like LSU, Kentucky. One of the greatest plays. It was one of those like Hail Mary where you're so far out that your Hail Mary only goes to like the 30. But it like hits off the defender and Henderson just doesn't break stride and keeps running and catches it on the deflection.
Oh, runs. Yeah.
Big upset game. Or no, prevented a big upset, I'm guessing. I doubt Kentucky would have been the favorite over LSU at any point.
One guy I really like, and I think he might end up a Steeler, and because the Steelers have Arthur Smith now, and like this dude's comp is like a cross between AJ Brown and Debo Samuel. That's Malachi Corley.
Yeah.
Where is he from?
Western Kentucky, I think.
Okay.
I could see the Steelers drafting him in like the third, because he's like 5'11", but he's like 215.
Yeah, he's a stocky guy.
Yeah, his nickname is Yak God.
Oh yeah,
yeah, okay. That's his nickname.
Now he's bulimic, or he's from
the animal.
From
the yak.
Sorry,
the animal.
He's from Tibet. Wow. Okay, so let's speed up a little. We got to linemen. So linemen, we have the big freak, Amarius Mims. How do we feel about
him? Oh, man. His nickname, I was reading today, this guy's only played 8 games. His teammates just call him Future Hall of Famer.
It's not much of a nickname.
It's a fucking terrible nickname.
Really funny nickname for like your backup punter.
Yeah.
Like as a sarcastic nickname, it's actually great.
I heard, yes, he's only started 8 games in his career.
Why?
I don't know.
Was it a late growth spurt, or is he one of those?
Roderick Jones was playing ahead of him, and then the other guy
transfer.
Got
you
hurt.
Idiot!
I know
you don't have to sit out a year anymore.
But he's apparently super physically gifted, and it's not like he's a raw player. It looks like the 8 games he played great.
Yeah,
it's not like T.J. Watt, who had just moved to the edge and was like raw. Like it was a steal to get TJ Watt at 30, because if he had played another season he would have been a top 10 pick.
Yeah,
but it was like, who's still a little raw,
right?
That was why he fell.
Yeah.
But this is not even that. It's just a lack of experience that's not necessarily the same as being green.
It sounds like he's going to really rise up the boards.
I know,
in an already very deep, but it's already such a deep tackle class.
Yeah, right?
You got the kid from Penn State.
You've got Olu
Olufashanu. Yeah.
Joe Walt, who looks like he'll be the first tackle.
Totally.
Boy, Notre Dame has cranked out some linemen recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Son of Chiefs great John Alt. I think you've got...
Buaga's going to go probably pretty
JC
high.
JC Latham, who he might be like a little...
Latham is Bama, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're talking about he might have some Larry Allen strength.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so it's tight, like he might go to guard. There's a couple guys that might move to guard, might move around.
Troy Fotanu might move to guard too.
But you've got like possibly 5-6 offensive tackles going in the first round.
I know, and I'd love any one of them for the Steelers.
So
because a lot of them are right tackles, and Broderick Jones needs to play left.
So if your team needs an offensive tackle, good draft,
man. Great draft.
On the defensive side of the ball. It's not a great defensive draft class for the most.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
secondary corners, great corners.
You really like Latu, the edge.
Yes.
Right?
I think that dude is going to be great.
He's amazing.
I think in any other year, he would be a top five pick.
He's fun to watch.
And you like the corners?
The corners are so.
I haven't watched anything about with the corners.
The
but...
corners are also very tall. They're like that Joey Porter Jr. size. Like 6'2", 6'1".
Who are we talking about here?
We're talking about Nate Wiggins. We're talking about...
Kerryon Arnold? Is he a bigger guy?
No, I think he might not be quite that tall. Maybe he's like 6'1". But Kool-Aid McKinstry is...
I wouldn't mind him on the Steelers. He's like Kool-Aid and Joey Porter.
Man, I would take any of... Yeah, I actually love Cooper DeJean, who's from Iowa. And
is that how you say his last name?
That is.
I've been just thinking DeJean.
Yeah.
So that ruins my mustard-related nickname for him.
Yeah. And he's drawn comparisons to...
Jason Sehorn?
Oh, man.
He's white, if you don't know.
Yeah, he's white.
He's
going
to get comped to the only other white corner. Yeah.
He's drawn comps to like Jalen Ramsey because he's...
Or they're like, he's a lot like Deshae Townsend, but a white Deshae Townsend.
Yeah, Mel Kiper keeps saying that.
Just pure slot. I really like him a lot too. But there's some really good corner. There's like TJ Tampa in the second round. Is like he's also like 6'2", who you know, really good prospect.
I mean, you got to take him if you're the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
I know.
You're
Tampa.
Dumb.
Yeah, you've got to take TJ Tampa
if you're gonna run the Tampa 2.
Tampa 2. TJ Tampa 2.
You need
and then
namesake.
You got to take his son too, who's TJ Tampa 2. You got to take him.
Yeah, so defense side of the ball, defensive tackles, you got a couple of Johnny Newton.
Yeah, Byron Murphy's supposedly going to be like a freak.
Don't we already have a Byron Murphy?
There's
Isn't there a DB named Byron Murphy?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's a lot of Byron Murphys out
there. Well, what about all my Michigan guys? Is Sandra still? Is Chris Jenkins, Sandra still, the linebacker? Who's Junior
Chris
Colson?
Jenkins is,
these are guys.
He's another guy who's supposed to test out of the world, but like... Michigan defensive linemen, like who? None of them have done really great in the pros.
Clark,
Kenny Clark.
Oh, Kenny Clark. That's right.
Or Kenny Clark, not Frank Clark.
But Mo Hurst didn't do that great.
No, I mean, it was Brandon Graham.
He didn't
more
have the
of
heart.
An edge, yeah. I guess. what about how did Mozzie Smith do as a rookie?
They made him lose 40 pounds. Apparently,
not great. Not Boy, great. He had a bad.
Draft he had a me. Rough. Yeah.
I wish they'd draft me.
I know.
Make me lose. what about
I mean, Jerry
Rashawn?
Jones prodding you with a cattle prod?
Rashawn Gary's okay, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he. I wouldn't consider
he's like an edge.
I feel like he's like an edge.
Same
guy.
With Brandon Graham, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah. I think like Chris Jenkins, because the Steelers need a defensive lineman. And I don't know if Jenkins fits exactly with like lengthwise, but hey, I'd take him.
You know who'd be great for the Steelers? Javon Hargrave.
God.
Maybe we should have imagine? Re-signed him.
I mean, it was either he or Tuitt, and we chose Tuitt.
Whoops. Love Tuitt, but
yeah,
whoops. That's a big old whoops.
I know.
Not Tuitt's fault, but big whoops.
But you can blame him if you want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. If you don't know the story.
If you don't know the story.
You can if you want, Ryan, but you should Google it quick.
I have an idea of what happened.
All right.
Thank you so much, James, for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Chat a little combine. I feel a little more informed now. I can't wait to see how guys measure up.
Yeah. Well, I just want to toss out one more name that I love for the listeners to look up because he's really fun to watch. On the defensive side, Edgerrin Cooper.
I've heard this name.
Is off-ball linebacker who I think reminds me of Ryan Shazier.
Oh.
Whoa. Yeah. Now, I'm doing the math in my head. This has to be a person who was named after Edgerrin James, right?
Got it.
Or Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
They gave him a last name based on Amari Cooper. He was already 12.
Yeah.
He changed his last name to Amari to Cooper.
Yeah.
I guess he could have been named after that guitar player who works in that band with Bono. the Edge. Yeah. We can cut that out.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to plug, James?
Just check out the Shared Experience Studio on Instagram.
And then you guys do great live shows.
Yeah, we do live shows here
classes.
In Los Angeles. Classes. Yeah, so check out the Shared Experience Studio. You can see all the stuff that we're doing on there.
Awesome.
All right,
guys. We'll see you next week, and hopefully we get Carl has a nice 40 time.
Yeah.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.